podcast is generously brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok.
Comments made on the Saratok Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Saratok Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the third edition of The Rundown here on the Saratok Podcast Network. My name is AZ, and I'm here with Mr. JDR. What's going on, brother?
What is going on, everybody?
We are sitting right here on the coattails of the NCAA tournament. And what a tournament it was. It's already come and gone. The champions, the ones who got to rip down the nets, if you may, are the Duke Blue Devils. And they have done this for the fifth time. And they did it in an awesome game. One of the games that's going to go down for the ages between Duke and Wisconsin. They both had opportunities to take over the game. There was so many lead changes, so great defense, so great offense, man. It had a great showcase of everything. And these guys are definitely young. There's a lot of seniors, and then there was a lot of freshmen as well on there, especially on the Duke team. And they took it to the Wisconsin Badgers and put on a great show, great defensive effort, and great offensive performance by the Duke Blue Devils.
I believe so.
Congratulations to them. They're the NCAA champions. So what do you think about JDR?
You know what I want to know? I want to know how many people lost money betting on Kentucky. I'm glad I wasn't one of them, but I really did think that they would go all the way and get that perfect season. 40-0. So
I think that was, yeah.
Come Saturday evening, I was pretty disappointed.
There were a lot of people who had them penned to go 40-0. And when they reached the semifinals and the final four, it was the only team that a lot of experts thought could beat them was Wisconsin. And Wisconsin did it. And they took it to them, man. And it was completely unexpected. You know, the consensus was just wow. And whenever Wisconsin took out Duke to go into the championship game.
Right about now, it's such a great time to be a sports fan. There's just so much to watch. I was actually flipping forward between the championship game and the season opener for the Astros. So right now is right about the time where unless you have DVR or picture-in-picture, it's going to be a little tricky to keep up with all the action.
Yeah, it definitely is. NBA is also going on the final stretch, and so many things, like you said, are going on. But definitely, it was opening day earlier this week. And we did get to see so many baseball games already hit the TV. And, you know, on ESPN, they had the first one, as they do every Sunday night from now until October. So they're going to have their games there. It's definitely, if you're a baseball fan, you know it's your time. But so many changes, man, are happening this year. I had no idea this amount of changes were happening.
Well, I know that they're designed to shorten the length of games. That's always been the criticism for the last couple of years. Definitely that the games are just too long. So I think that's the goal.
Would you agree that that's a good thing for baseball?
I've heard arguments both ways. I've heard arguments that we shouldn't mess with it, and if games go on longer than they should, then that's okay. It's all part of the sport. And I've also heard people make the case that they've just gotten too long, and it's definitely a detraction for viewing the sport, let alone going to a game itself. I think the longest game that I've ever been to was 3.5 hours. I didn't notice it because it was such a close game. It was the Astros and the Rangers, and I was surprised that we were that tied up because the Astros are going through a pretty difficult period right now. Supposedly, we're going to be having an even season, and that's the goal because we've had such a really bad couple of years as of late. But during this game, it was a 3.5-hour game. I didn't notice it until we left, and it was almost midnight, and I was like, holy smokes, that's just way too long.
Right. And the reason they changed this is because on average last year, it was 3 hours and 2 minutes. So that became what it was on average. And they felt like that was too long. So now there's a timer that goes off, or that they have a certain amount of time between inning changes and between pitcher changes. And so hopefully this is going to help and speed up the game and kind of get things going, and maybe it won't last so long. And you know, the biggest thing is they just don't want to continue to lose fans, and they want more people to be watching the games, obviously. And we shall see if this helps out the fines, if people begin to get over the time, or, you know, if anything like that happens. They have another change too, where batters are supposed to have both feet in the batter box at all times. And, you know, there's already been issues with that. And I know Big Papi David Ortiz has been one of the most vocal players to say that, you know, he's not in agreement with that. So we shall see, but fines will start kicking in on May 1st. So they kind of give them a little bit of leeway and allowing them to kind of get used to the whole process as to how it's going to be now. But like I said, if you're a baseball fan, you got the Giants and they're going to try and repeat. And then you got the Dodgers who continue to just spend money.
And it's really strange how things have taken that tide of change, because a couple years back, the biggest criticism was for the Yankees. Oh, well, the Yankees, of course, they're always going to have such a good team. They spend so much money, and those guys just get anybody that's out there, any free agent, they snag them up. And now look at what the Dodgers are doing, and it's definitely pretty surprising to see how much money they're throwing at all these players.
That's right. It's like, I believe whenever everything was closed, it was $207 million, and that's their payroll. That's where they ended. That's definitely a lot. And, you know, I think they're running out of time because they're looking out to get that championship. And if they don't get it soon, you know, so some people are going to be upset at that.
I think what was interesting for me is to listen to the ovation that Alex Rodriguez got his first game back after that year-long suspension that he just finished up. I'm interested to see if he'll do anything, if he's going to be able to redeem himself, because, you know, people love second chance stories and redemption stories. So definitely want to see what he's going to be able to do now that he's playing again, hopefully substance free. And it'll be interesting to see what he'll be able to do now and how he's going to handle being back with his team, being able to play and seeing if he can lead them to the playoffs.
That's right. We shall see a lot of great stories going on right now in baseball and as well as in basketball. So, you know, we shall see how things end up here in the next few months. But we're going to take a short break, and we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA and Coach of the Year Awards. We'll be right back.
Where have you been? You've left me hanging on three lunch dates.
Nice to see you too.
Well, yeah, but question stands. Where have you been?
You miss me that much?
Enough to be curious.
You really want to know?
I do.
I've been trying to get through this semester. But, I just went to the bookstore, got a whole bunch of books, scanned them, and my OCR software, I found out when I ran it this past day, is out of date. Screen reader is out of date. Windows is out of date. Office, I thought I updated. I'm so broke, I can't even, you know, pay attention.
Which is why you've left me in the lynch. Fair enough.
Well, I'm sorry. But I finally decided, you know, I gotta step away from my stuff, because if I don't, I'm gonna go insane.
I think I can help you put some sanity back into your stuff, though.
Promise?
Promise. Have you heard of a company called Saratech?
No, I don't think so. Who are they?
Saratech's a pretty cool company that makes some pretty awesome and economical AT software.
Oh?
Yeah, like their Accessibility Anywhere package comes to mind.
Oh, what's in that?
Well, you've got some scanning software, a screen reader, and a pretty cool little multimedia program called SamNet.
Really?
Yeah.
So, how much are we talking for that?
Well, that's $21.95 per month or $240 a year.
$21.95 is less than the cost of a movie date these days. wink, nudge, nudge.
See, it's funny you bring up the subject of movies, because SamNet has one of the fastest growing collections of described movies and TV programs out there.
Hey, that's cool. So where can I get this?
You can go to saratech.com/accessibilityanywhere, download the trial, and probably get hooked.
I just might, actually. Saratech.com/accessibilityanywhere. Okay, I think I can remember that.
Cool.
Hey, are you hungry?
Starving.
Well, you know, Since you did just tell me all about Saratac and probably save me a whole bunch of money, I can try your little balanced thing and see if you want to go and get something to eat. I'll treat.
You're on
Saratac, the accessibility anywhere people.
All right, we're back, and we want to share with you guys a little book that we're reading here on the rundown, and Mr. JDR has picked it out, and you want to tell him a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just picked up the Dolly Parton book. It's an autobiography that she's been working on for a couple years now, and it's full of a lot of stories. I just started reading it, but I listened to an interview that she did with the BBC, and what I liked about it is she discusses a lot of her experiences before that she became Dolly Parton, one of which she discusses a song that Elvis Presley was going to sing that she had written, and this was before she had gotten famous, but Elvis had heard the song and said he wanted to record it, and she was all for it and told her family members and friends, oh my gosh, Elvis is going to do one of my songs. And the day of the recording session, Elvis's manager, the Colonel, told her, well, yeah, he's ready to record it, but you're going to have to sign over the copyright and he's going to get writer's credit. And she didn't want to do that because she was really proud of the song. So that's as far as it went. And so those are just some of the little things that she discusses so far. I just picked it up through Audible and it is so convenient to have it. I love taking my books wherever I go. They're on the cloud. I can put them on any device that I have that has the Audible app. And certainly it's easy to download through the app store of your choice, whether it be the Google Play Store, the Android Store, or the iTunes Store. So definitely it's worth a pickup. I highly recommend it. I just started reading it and I'm having trouble putting it down.
That's right. And if you want to get your free download, go to audiblepodcast.com/Saratac and you can get your free download and also get a chance to experience the whole Audible experience. And, you know, get a hold of this book or get a hold of any other book that they have there available. And again, your free download, whenever you set up your free account, it's on audiblepodcast.com/Saratac. All right, man. Well, the NBA, like I said, we are in full swing of that and we are winding it down. But I know a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the MVP chase that is currently going on. And there's a bunch of awards coming up. We got Defensive Player of the Year. We got, of course, the MVP. Then we also going to have the Scoring Champion. So we have a bunch of awards. But one that I don't think has been talked about so much, and not as much as it should be, but that's because of the amazing MVP race that we have going on right now, is the Coach of the Year Award. And, you know, we have quite a bit of candidates. And just like we did with the MVP award, usually we have about one or two coaches of the year. This time you can pick from five. So, you know, it's quite deep there as well. But I think that definitely the top two are, it's definitely between the top two, between Mike Budenholzer from the Atlanta Hawks and Steve Kerr from the Warriors.
So who's your pick?
I'm going to definitely go with Steve Kerr. And, you know, and I think maybe it's the sexy pick, you know, kind of people would say that the Warriors were already good when Steve Kerr got them. But I think that Steve Kerr found a way to enable these guys. They didn't take a step back at all. They completely kept going forward. And if they could get better, they got better. And he set so many records already. He already has more than 63 wins, which is already a record for a first-year head coach. And I just think that the work that he's done there with the Warriors and Steph Curry and being able to balance all that talent that he has there and keeping them focused on what their goal is, and that's to bring a championship to the Warriors. And who would have ever thought that? I just think it's got to be Steve Kerr for what he's done and the best team in the NBA by far. I think the closest one is the Hawks, and they're about five games back. So to me, it's Steve Kerr.
See, and it's funny how you bring up the Hawks, because Budenholzer would be my pick, mainly because usually we're not talking about the Hawks in the East. Usually we're not talking about the Eastern Conference at all. Last year, we would mention the Heat because you had the big three over there. We'd mention the Bulls because they had Derrick Rose. And we'd mentioned the Pacers because they had Paul George. Aside from that, there was really nothing else to talk about. You'd have the Wizards, or you'd have other teams that came and went, the Raptors, and they would be in the playoffs, then they would not. So really, there wasn't a lot of discussion, and there hasn't been a lot of discussion with the Eastern Conference. Now you've got the Hawks, this powerhouse team, and they haven't just been winning in the Eastern Conference. They've been beating Western Conference teams as well, and they've been beating good teams. And I think because of that, in one fell swoop, Budenholzer's been able to restore a franchise and single-handedly restore a conference. So I don't want to say that it's easy to shine in the West because you've got so much competition and because it's so deep in talent and in playoff caliber teams, but there's so much excitement in the Western Conference that if you play well and you've got a good system in order, it's easy to come out and shine. In the Eastern Conference for the last couple of years, it's been a yawn all over the place. So the fact that until the Warriors really took off, the team to watch was the Atlanta Hawks, and they still are. That would be the reason why I think Budenholzer is more deserving, simply because I don't recall seeing where in one season an entire conference is restored and solidified as a contender for good basketball.
Right, and one of the things that these two have in common are Greg Popovich, San Antonio Spurs, and Steve Kerr, a basketball player there in his latter part of his career. And Mike Budenholzer was there as an assistant coach for a while. So definitely influenced by the man himself, Greg Popovich. So these two teams, I don't know if they're going to be in the finals, but one of these teams will. And I think by the talent, it's going to be the Warriors, and that's why I think that Steve Kerr is going to win it at the end.
I will say one thing, though. Whether it's the Warriors or the Hawks, and we've been talking about it in episodes 1 and 2 of the rundown thus far, the best thing that we can have to look forward to is that team basketball is definitely back in form again. The era of the big threes, I think it's long and gone now. The teams that are winning and succeeding at a high level, you've mentioned the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Hawks, they're teams that are playing as a team completely, where everybody shares the ball, the responsibility, the defense, and the rebounds. So whichever team goes to the finals and takes that trophy and brings it home, it's going to have to be a team that works with that kind of diligence and work ethic.
Right.
That's the kind of team I think that's going to go all the way this year. And it's going to be tough because you've got three teams.
Right. And that's the kind of team that is up at the top, that are 1 and 2 in the NBA, and that's the Warriors and that's the Atlanta Hawks, you know, team sport there. And they got a couple of players that are, especially the Warriors, they got a couple flashy players out there and that are scoring big points. But at the end of the day, it is the whole team that's playing at that level, the whole team that's bought into their particular coach's system. And it's going to be fun to watch. But to me, as far as the head coach of the year has to go to Steve Kerr, because he's taken this talented team that was already good and made it better and made it not only we're going to get to the playoffs. No, made it to where, hey, this team is going to win. It's going to win the championship. So we shall see. And that's where I'm at. I'm just curious to see Mike Budenholzer's system tested in the playoffs. I want to see it against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want to see it against Derrick Rose, who's going to return, who already returned. I want to see against his Bulls and to see how they last in a 7-game series. I think that's going to be the tall telling fact as to if that system is foolproof and if it's really going to bring the team or the city, the Atlanta City, a championship.
Well, we only have 8 days left, and then it's playoff time. So right now is crunch time. Every game has implications for a lot of teams, particularly for the teams that are at the bottom, you know, 8th place, 9th place, trying to get back in. You never know who's going to do the 1-2 switch and end up being inside as opposed to being outside. So it's definitely must watch right now.
Must watch is the NBA. We want to go now to a new segment that we want to try out for you guys. And it's called Tee 'em Up, Technical Foul of the Week. We are both going to have our own technical fouls. And it's just going to discuss maybe an issue that's going on or a particular situation that happened that we want to bring up and that we want to state our opinion about it. So to get this portion of the show started, we definitely want to give it up to JDR. So brother, who are you teeing up this week?
My technical foul this week goes to the lovely fans that were in attendance at the Monday Night Raw for the WWE immediately following WrestleMania. And I know that the Raw after WrestleMania has become kind of a very raucous event for the last couple of years. Definitely since WrestleMania 29, it's become the most outspoken and the noisiest Raw. And that's fine. And I'm fine with it to a point. But I really took offense with the crowd chanting derogatory comments towards the divas that were wrestling. The reason being that for the past month and a half, the fans have been pushing this Twitter campaign, hashtag give the divas a chance, wanting longer matches, better feuds, all sorts of things. The bottom line was that they felt the divas needed to be treated and put out in a different light. So they finally got it. It was a 14-minute match, and they responded with chanting horrible things, making light of the fact that five of the six divas were involved or have been involved with current or former WWE male wrestlers. And they were chanting derogatory comments, making light of that. And I felt it was extremely inappropriate for the simple fact that whether you agree with it or not, and I certainly have talked about it on this podcast that I don't agree with the PG brand for the WWE. I miss the Attitude Era, but that's where we're at now. And I'm sure that there were a lot of kids in the audience, and I'm sure there were a lot of young ladies in the audience, whether they were somebody's daughter or a niece or a wife or a sister. There were women, young women in the audience. And I don't think that that's the adequate environment to be throwing those kinds of slanders. And I really think it belittles certainly the wrestlers there who are working hard to entertain us. And it also makes wrestling fans look bad. And that is my technical of the week, because I don't think that that sort of thing has a place in the WWE or in sports for that matter.
Well, there you go. That's the technical of the week from Mr. JDR talking about the WWE fans that were in attendance there in Raw after WrestleMania. And definitely not a good moment there, especially for the WWE. And especially since it brought on a bunch of things happened. We don't know why, if you guys haven't seen this, we don't know why AJ Lee retired. That hasn't been quite clear yet. There seems to be a lot of details missing with that, but it did happen shortly after that. And it just brings the fact that what was going on leading to WrestleMania, something was up, and then it just seemed like she just couldn't do it anymore or didn't want to anymore. So details are kind of sketchy there. I know I mentioned last week that I felt that that was where the product should be put on, either on her or on Paige. And I think the decision then has been made by her that this should be going on Paige. And it's just disappointing that, like you said, they're just doing that hashtag. And, you know, even Vince McMahon wrote back to that hashtag, saying, keep watching, you know, we hear you. And Steph did as well. So something good was going to happen, and then we have this. And this was just definitely not a good decision.
And I think that really says all it needs to say about, and I don't want to say it's wrestling fans as a whole. I would put the blame on what are known as smart marks, meaning people that think they know the ins and outs of the business. And now the common trend has been to hijack events, whether it be through Twitter, Facebook, or at the event itself. And the WWE spread it upon themselves because they brought up, oh, this is the craziest Raw, because a couple of years back they hijacked the Raw after WrestleMania, after WrestleMania 29, with all sorts of crazy stuff. And they've done it to themselves. They've said, oh, well, yeah, this is the craziest one, so you want to be a part of it. And this time I think it went too far. Aside from the Divas comments, they were they did not receive the return of Sheamus very positively. They completely destroyed his new look, and they were cheering for Brock Lesnar after he just did everything he could to get suspended, and now he has been suspended and he's facing a seven-figure fine. So it's going to be probably a couple $1 million that he's going to get fined for all the damage that he did to equipment and to personnel. But it's really crazy, because we were just talking in the previous episode of the Rundown that the divas are definitely coming up as far as the type of entertainment that you want as a wrestling fan. And we don't know where it's going to go now because AJ Lee has decided to leave and she's got her reasons. We don't know what they are.
Right.
So I don't know what's going to happen with Paige because they had such a good dynamic between them. Are they friends? Well, are they enemies?
Yeah. And like I said, putting them against each other would have been the best thing. I think they could have milked that a little more, but they didn't. Now that's out the door. Like I said, the Bellas are going to be the Bellas. I don't think we're going to see anything better from them. I think we're going to see what we're going to see. But Paige has still got room to grow. I mean, she's still a kid, you know? She's still got a long ways to go. We haven't seen the best out of Paige yet. But I believe in Emma. And I know Emma has messed up, but I think she's paid for that mistake already. And I think that the product should get behind her and kind of put her in that spot. I think it's her turn. I think we haven't seen the best of Summer. I don't think she's just a dancer. I think they really work hard at just leaving her at that. But I think she's got more. And even Marie, man, even Marie has shown a lot of, and I don't know what they see to kind of keep them off of TV. I get it. They need to work on stuff and everything. But I think even Marie should be also put in the forefront as well. So there's a bunch of divas out there. Obviously we forget about them because we don't see them as much. All the ones you see is Paige and the Bellas because of the E! Network episode that they have to promote. But you know,
total divas.
Yeah. Total divas. And even Natalia, you know, and Natalia's just too good for these divas sometimes. And that's why they leave her out. They kind of put her out because, you know, Natalia would run circles around these girls a lot of the times because, you know, she's got such a huge background in wrestling. But
she's a heart.
Yeah, she's heart. She's part of that heart dynasty. And I don't think you should put her down. She's not just TV material as far as just having her on the Total Divas. She is very much so a performer. And a very good one at that. So we always need to work on something. I think her mic skills need worked on. But that's like something that can be fixed. You know, I think she's got the talent to sell it in the ring. So my technical foul of the week, because I got one too. Not to do with wrestling or anything like that. Mine has to do with soccer. In the Mexican Soccer League recently, one of the most popular teams in the Mexican Soccer League, which is Club America, Las Águilas del América, brought in a head coach this new year, and his name is Gustavo Matosas, and he was brought in as, how you would say, like if you would bring in Phil Jackson in the NBA, basically you're going to win.
He's going to be the fixer.
Right, the fixer, or maybe the one who's going to take you to that next level. He's going to be that guy, proven, basically. And so, you know, he comes in. They had already won a championship, just won a championship in December. He comes in late December, takes over the team. And they say, we're going to win two championships this year. We're going to win them both. The first one and the second one. They're going to take them both. And when we're going to do it with this coach, because he's exciting and we love the way he plays. He plays his players and it's offensive and it's aggressive and it's all of these things. So the first few weeks, first month or two go by, and nobody's questioning this guy. You know, they're winning, they're losing a few, they look out of order, but they're saying it's going to take time. Fine. All of this is a process, and there should be time allowed for a coach to implement his technique and implement his style into his players. A few weeks back, America, again, they're picked to go and win this title again because of the players that they brought in. They spent a lot of money and because of the coach that's now there. So they're also picked to go and win. They also have what they call the CONCA Champions, which is a league that is made up of Mexican soccer teams and then Central American, like Costa Rica soccer teams, U.S. soccer teams. All of these teams are put in this league and then they're called the CONCA Champions. They're also picked to win that one just because of the amount of talent that they have. They go down there in the first leg of the semifinals and they lose 3-0 and that game looked horrible. It looked bad. And he didn't take his A team. Gustavo Matosas didn't take his A team because he felt like he could do at least hang in there, maybe tie. But they looked bad. And a lot was attributed to the ref. And a lot was attributed to they were playing on a synthetic field, which is never recommended. I don't even know how that was allowed. especially with soccer and the kinds of cleats and everything that they wear, it's definitely not safe to play in a synthetic field. So they go down there and they lose badly. They look bad and they look out of control. All his players look out of control. So they do that in the middle of the week. They come back and later on in that week, they lose badly and they look bad. I mean, it's not even you just get outplayed. The players look disinterested. The players are out of place. And it just doesn't look good. And he gets beat down. So there's a week where he loses two games, very important games that the team needed to win or at least look competitive in. And that night, after that second game that he lost that week, he's saying that he's going to resign. And to me, that's my technical foul of the week. This guy was signed for 3 years, multi-million dollar contract, was given everything. They spent a lot of money on these players to bring him in. And all he does, whenever there's a bad week or there's a bad vibe going on, instead of grabbing his team, taking him aside, and figuring out what he needs to do, no, he's asking to get out. And to me, that's not the sign of a real head coach. That's not the sign of an awesome coach, like the fixer, you know, I'm going to fix this. It's like, what, when things go bad, you're going to just tuck your tail between your legs and say, I don't want any part of this. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't come in to this organization, to a big organization, and say that, no, if everything's good, I'm here. But if something goes bad, if I'm having any criticism or if I don't like the way things are going, I'm leaving. How do you get any respect from your players when you do that? And then he also had the audacity to call out his players, to call out specific names and say, this guy and this guy are not getting my system. And I just, definitely something that I just didn't see as a good coach. I don't know what they see in this guy. Maybe he's definitely won championships and they look good in other places. But here, right now, it's looking very shaky. And, you know, I don't even know if they're going to even make the finals in the local league. And it looks very difficult in the CONCACAF champions. I don't think they're going to make it. So what's going to happen at the end of the year? I mean, is he only going to stick around for 6 months? But definitely the part where he just decided, oh, I had a bad couple of games, I'm out of here. And when he called out his players, definitely that deserves, to me, the technical foul of the week from AZ.
Oh, that's pretty harsh. I would say that definitely warrants a red card for him.
You think so, right?
Maybe too.
So there we are, man. That's the technical foul of the week from Mr. JDR and from yours truly.
Yeah, I really do think that the NFL is almost here. Draft day is upon us. So it's going to be interesting to see whether it'll be Jameis Winston or if anybody else is going to climb up there. I'm hearing that Brent Hundley, who was one of the top quarterbacks, might be falling into the second tier. So that's sad to say. I'm definitely pulling for him since I really do think that he's going to end up having a better showing than was previously thought of. So what I'd like to know is, who do you think is going to be number one and who do you think is going to go to which team? So definitely hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. Want to get your thoughts on that. I know everybody's got their predictions. Everybody's got their ideas who should go where. So definitely now's about the time to start getting your predictions down.
We got caught up in that whole frenzy of the trades and all the free agents going into different places. And that's definitely coming up, the draft. So watch out for that.
I want to know, will it be Marcus Mariota? Will it be Jameis Winston? Will Brent Hundley get in there? Because I know we're a quarterback-driven NFL now. So those are your top three quarterbacks. So I want to know who's going to go where. Who do you think and who do you want your team to pick? So hit us up on Twitter and Facebook.
You know where we're at. And that brings us to the end of the third edition of the Rundown right here on the Serotalk Podcast Network. Again, like JDR was saying, look us up on Twitter, look us up on Facebook. Let us know what you think, any suggestions or anything like that. If you are listening to us on the iBlink radio app, make sure to submit an iReport and let us know what's up. Even, you know, we'll make sure. And if we hear one that we like, we're going to definitely air you guys on here. That will definitely happen. So if you want to sound off, hit us up on that iBlink radio app and submit an iReport. So, guys, we will see you next week. Submit your suggestions for what we should bet, what should happen if the Spurs win, which I know they're going to do. What do you want JDR to do? What do you want him to lose?
Wait a minute. I really do think that the Rockets are going to be in the zone. So the question should be, what excuse we get from Greg Popovich once we beat him twice in a row?
Oh, that's going to be good. I want to see. I never heard Greg Popovich give an excuse for anything. So that would be a first. I would want to see that for sure. But guys, like I said, we're wrapping it up. And we'll see you guys next week right here on The Rundown. My name is AZ.
I am JDR. We will see y'all next time. Believe that.